session number 20942, Reel 2.
Andy Brown, Reel 2.
The ramp got hit and I had to jump off into the water. I thought I was going to jump off into about 3 foot of water. Instead of that, I must have jumped into a shell hole because I got completely submerged. I crawled out of that and came up, surfaced up, to find that I was standing in about 3 foot of water.
Could you swim?
I didn't have to swim because I was really standing in 3 foot of water. I am a strong swimmer. I immediately started for the shoreline because we had been already warned where to form up and what to do, and that was to get off the beach at all costs and form up beyond the sea ridge, the sea dunes. Coming out of the water and running up the beach, I had a moan and mini scream off. So I, and one or two shells falling about, so I dived into this hole, and there was a bloke at the East Yorks with a Bren gun there. I asked him what he was doing on. He said he lost his mates and he was digging in there. I said, well, if you're digging there, you're going to die. Come along with me. I said, because if you stop on the beach, you're going to die. You've got to get off the beach. You don't stay on no beach. You get off. So he came along with me and I took him over and we formed up and we marched off and we came across a lot of minefields and pillar boxes that we dealt with, and by that time we'd started to lose men, like my old captain and several of the men.
Did this East Yorkshire soldier stay with you?
He stayed with me, yeah. He stayed with me till the end of D-Day.
Did you learn his name?
No. They just told me they better get back and look for his mates. Because they took a plaster and that was their job to go in and sort of make way for us, you know.
So, what was his morale like?
Well, when I met him, that was pretty low. He just didn't know what to do.
And then what do you remember?
Well, I remember going up through Santa Barn and several blockhouses we had to clear and then approaching Pegasus Bridge, going through Santa Barn, and then approaching Pegasus Bridge, and getting recognised by the airborne, and then waiting for old Lord Lovett to come up and get permission to cross the bridge, and across we went, and the only thing what happened to us there was getting sniped at as we went over the bridge. Several people got hit running across the bridge. Got over the other side to find out there was another bridge. Went over that. Then there was an airborne fella coming down the road and he was a bit slap happy and he said he'd seen tanks. And we sort of said where, he said up the road, but we heard tanks but we didn't see none. And we made for a place called Amphiville.
What do you mean he was slap happy?
Well, he was a little bit excited, you know. A little bit bomb happy, I think, you know. A little bit scared. And as I say, he would run down the road on his own. And we went across some fields, and three troop went across to Braville, and we made for a place called Amphiville. And an airborne bloke met us there and said that they was East Section was in the post office at the end of the village. At the end of the village. And there was a fellow outside of a farm, and he was the old farmer, and he was at the gate, and he gave us a, he had a jug of cider, and he was offering us cider as his son Bernard Soultier was in the back of the farm shouting to his father that the Jerry was coming through the orchard. And from there we went through the farm and into a triangle field and started to dig in. And then we started to get mortared and shelled and that sort of thing. And we stopped there in that field for about 6 weeks, or no, about 4 weeks rather. And we used to patrol out to the old Jerry there. That's one place we especially used to go to, was a place called Longmere Farm, and we used to go and wake them up and purposely to keep them so they didn't get deprived them of any sleep. But the old Jerry was under the impression that there was a division of men there. There was only the commandos there and some artillery fellas for backup. But they thought that there was a division of men there.
How much fighting was there in this area?
When three troop went into Braville, they got knocked out there, and they came out half strength and came to us and dug in the other side of the village. They'd lost about 25 men. And we started to patrol up the... I was in the side road of Bernard's farm, at the triangular field where that went up, the road went up. And the old Jerry used to visit the crossroad up the top, and so did we. And we had several skirmishes with him. And we lost several men up there. One being the little fellow that I shared a hall with, Junior Wilson. We was getting mortared all the time, shelled all the time while I was in that field.
How did he come to be killed?
We went up the road in a patrol in the morning, and there was another fellow called John Blakeman, who come from Bournemouth, and he was a policeman. And we were going up, and we went across this opening where in the background was a barn, when a spandrel or something opened up and caught him in the legs and took nearly all his leg off by a little thread piece. And we were calling the medicals. We'd lost our medical officer, and we only had Taffy Eels, the corporal medical, and he came out and got him on the stretcher and took him back. And we went further up the road, and little Junior, the fellow I was sharing the hall with, he just dropped down beside me. And when I turned him over, I couldn't see nothing but just a little hole in his berry, and there wasn't no blood or nothing. That just hit him in the forehead. And then we got counterattacked, and so we had to leave him. And we come down the road, and next thing you know, they start to shell the road just before we turned into the gate where we'd come out of. A shell or something dropped, and I heard it coming and dived into the hedge. And Kenny Morton, another pal of mine, dived into the other side. But Big Bill Oakley and Jim Morgan, they, when I looked up, they lay face down in the road. I thought they'd been killed, but what they had actually got was blast had knocked them out. And we went up and had a look at them, got them on the feet and got back in the hole again. And I got them out and got back into the field looking from a hole, but found out that had been hit by a mortar or a shell or something, so it wasn't there. So I ran down the bottom end of the field where 6th Troop was, the airborne troop of 6th Commando, and dived in a hole there, because we were getting heavy shells and mortar, dived in a hole there. And this bloke said, "Watch what you're doing on." And I thought to myself, well, I recognise that voice, you know, that language. And when we got talking, I found out his name was Rolfie Rayner, and he comes from Norwich. He's now passed away. And he came from Norwich. So we got talking, and he'd married a girl that I went to school with. And then, as I say, the old mortar sergeant brought the 3-inch mortars up and set them out, and old Jerry was having an attack on us coming out of Braville, and they were all formed up ready for this attack when old Ned Sparks got them with the 3-inch mortars and broke the attack up. Just after that, our sergeant major, called Badge Blunden, another bloke called Jack Burns, took a patrol up the road, and they got caught out, and Badge got badly wounded, and so did Jack, and little Pat went about them. He was all right. So the old sergeant major said, "Get back and tell them that we're hit and tell them to come and get us in." And the medical team went up and brought them back in. Sadly, Sergeant Major Blunden, he didn't survive, and he's now buried in at Randerville. And so was Junior Wilson, and so was several more of the troop. They brought them back, and then we had a new sergeant major come out from Wrexham to us, and he wasn't a lot of good. All he wanted to do was inspectors, and inspector weapon pits, and the silly bugger went out in front to have a look at us to see if he could see us, and brought some heavy mortar down on us. And we suffered a lot of casualties. One being Ken Gibbs, another mate of mine who come from Norfolk. He died of his war wounds several years ago. Half the troop got hit by mortar fragmentations, and all through the sergeant major. And he got hit as well. And I remember it quite clearly them putting him on the stretcher. And we give him a couple of rifles and something to go on with and say, "I'll take that back to direction where you bugger you, you know." and we were glad to get rid of him. And then to replace him, we got a sergeant come out of three troop called Jamal Jameson, and we kept him all the way along. He was a good sergeant major.
What did you think of the German opposition here?
That was good. They raided us like we raided them, and they came one night and took one of our blokes away. Can't think of his name now, come from Salford. And he's buried in at Randerville. They found him later on, whether they killed him or whether he got hit by our shellfire, that we don't know.
So they captured him?
They captured him. They took him out the corner of the field where he was on stag. We were that tired, we were doing an R on and an R off all during the day. You got R on, R off.
Any other memories from this time?
Yeah, anyway, it came time that we left and we went to the Brabant, to a place called Brabant. And we went into a wooded area there. But before we reached that, we went into an area where there was some orchards and then a forest, and we got dug in. And me being an RE and a bloke called Chambers was an RE, and the officer, we got a new officer, his name was Chamberlain, and he was an RE. So there was a bridle path went up through this forest, so we got told to go up it and have a look and see what's there. Well, we went up it and had a look, we went about a quarter of a mile up, and we made a turn in and we saw some Jerry's quite happily sitting on a trench eating some food. So we decided to leave them alone and come back and report. And we got told to when we started to go up the bridle path, being REs, we had our little twig out in front of us, and we came across a tripwire which had some Jerry hand grenades on one side of it and a telamine on the other side of it. I was actually the one that picked it up. So when we came back, we knew where it was, we marked it off. When we come back, we decided to do something about it, so we'd know if old Jerry came down the pathway again. So we laid a couple of trip flares in front of it and one behind it, and went back and reported what we'd done. Well, we had two advance posts, and me and this fellow called Ken Brooks, we're in one on the left hand side, and we had a piece of string back to the officer's trench which he fixed on himself in case during the night if we were getting attacked or hurt, first thing in the morning we could tug on this and warn him, you see. And Kenny Brooks started the first stag. There was him and I, and that was our on, our off in the hole. When I got down and started to close my eyes, and he shook me and he said, "There's something out there." So I got up and listened, and I heard a rustle. I said, "That's rabbits or something like that, you know. That's an animal of some kind." Getting myself down the hole again and having a bit of shut eye, when he waked me again, I said, "What's up now?" And up I get, and it's the same thing happened. I said, "Oh, that's rabbits." Down I get again. Anyway, it didn't seem above. I'd been above, down there above 2 or 3 minutes before he was calling me again and saying, "Your turn." So up I got, then down he went, and the next thing I know is I hear the same as him. So I wake him up. He said, "Ah, it's rabbits." So this went on all night. Early next morning, the first thing, you know, come stag time, everyone turns out. And next thing you know, there was a disturbance in front on us, you know, in the forest. And I thought, "Hello, here they come," you know, and give the officer a tug on the string, you know, and everyone was alerted. And next thing we know was a bloody great German dog came out, and that was like a bull mastiff type. That was frothing at the mouth. And that was that, what had been roaming about all night in front of us. And anyway, we took it back. We brought it in, well, we called it in, and that slavered all over us, but we still kept a lookout in case there was something coming behind it. That slavered all over me, all those slime out of his mouth, slavered all over me. So we handed it back to the officer, and he handed it back to headquarters, and as far as I know, old Mills Roberts, he brought that home with him, brought the dog home with him.
What was wrong with the dog?
That was bum happy. That was slap happy, you know.
What made you think it was bum happy?
Well, the way that was softened at the mouth, you know. But that got all right, and Mills Roberts took it home with him. Brought it home on the boat when we came home.
So this was before you went to the Bavant Forest?
This was at the Bavant Forest. We were getting casualties there. Just after that dog instance, I was in the hall on my own, and a bloke called Ginger Rob, he was about 100 yards, couple hundred yards over to my right, and all of a sudden we started getting out of the shell or mortared, and I got my head down. And then when I heard it stop, I looked up to see what was coming behind it, and looked over to my right, and I saw another, then when there was another load of mortars or shells dropping, and I saw poor old Ginger go up in the air. And next thing I know, he's running around this field we were talking about. And I got out of the hole and tried to stop him. And I couldn't catch him, so I just waited till he come round back round the field again and knocked him over. And he got a barbed wire cut across his forehead. He was a redhead, was Ginger Rob. And he got this cut right across his forehead. And it was streaming the blood. And when I wiped it with a field dressing, all I could see was just like, you know, when you cut yourself with a razor, that bleed, don't you? That was just like that, right across his head. That was the barbed wire. What I didn't say to her is in front of us was a load of barbed wire that the old Jerry had put there, and that had been there for several years, and that was all rusty. And that he got hit by either a shell or a mortar, and the blast had lifted him up and put him onto the wire, and that cut his head anyway. He went bomb happy, and I never did see him after that. He went slap happy, and I never did see him after that.
Did you get injured yourself?
No. I was one of the lucky ones. Anyway, just after that, we went and attacked some high ground and took some high ground. I got it all there, but I can't recall the name of the places now. And the next thing you know, we was on our way home. Next thing you know, we was on our way home. On the 28th of August, we come back to England again.
Did you have to do much fighting to take the high ground?
Yeah. We had to hold it as well. I forget the name of the hill now.
Did you have tanks aboard?
No. Well, never see a tank. I never see it, except when I was on D-Day, when a tank come up and knocked, the Hussars come out and knocked pillar box out for us. I never saw a tank. I never saw a German tank.
What condition were you in by the time you were pulled out?
All right.
Where did you go to in England?
We came back to home. We came back to a place called Petworth, I think it was, and we was in under canvas there for about a week, and then we come back to Brighton and went back into our old digs again. You know, went back in with our old land area.
Did you get reinforcements?
Yeah. We were getting reinforced all the time. They couldn't make us up no more, so they had to bring us home. We were, you know, they couldn't reinforce us, so I had to bring us home. We were supposed to come home. We were only supposed to be out there for a fortnight. That's what they give us. They give us a fortnight.
Were there any grumbles about being there so long?
No.
What else happened to you in England when you got back?
Well, my wife come to start with me in the digs.
Was that allowed?
Yeah. Oh yeah, we could be where we liked as long as we were on the parades in the morning. You could go to London if you liked, as long as you're on that 9 o'clock or 6 o'clock parade, whatever they said in the morning, they didn't care. You're allowed to find your own billets. Some of them married the landladies, some of them married the landladies' daughters. You know, that was down in Brighton.
What was discipline like in commandos?
Good.
Compared with
good. That was good, because you're all volunteers, weren't you? I could have become a corporal quite quickly in France, but I just didn't want the responsibility of it.
What rank did you have in France?
I was just an RE, just a private.
Did you expect that you'd be going back to Europe?
No, we thought we were going to Burma. We were all ready to go to Burma when when the Ardennes started. So we was in England for Christmas, and we went straight back out to the River Mars, where they kept wanting me to take a tape, and I wouldn't take them. But when I went out to the Mars, I thought to myself, well, there's more money, I'll take it. And I got offered a Lance Corporal's tape, quickly followed by a corporal's.
Were you still with 2 Troop?
I was still with 2 Troop, yeah.
How did you take
and them? When we came back from France, we had some of the blokes that were wounded in the field come back to the troop, you know, come back to the unit. in actual fact, out of the whole old troop at the end of the war,